In many instances, defiant teenagers do the wrong and their parents bear the pain. Conviction number 10 is the toughest of all for the parent to implement, because you must give your teen the privilege of feeling the pain of their own wrong choices. You don't have to fix it all in your teen's life. Fix what you can and let life teach the rest. In his book, Relief for Hurting Parents, Buddy Scott shares 15 convictions that every parent must have. I'd like to discuss today conviction number 10. We will allow our teen to experience the pain of his or her own wrong choices. In many instances, defiant teenagers do the wrong and their parents bear the pain. Conviction number 10 is the toughest of all for the parent to implement, because you must give your teen the privilege of feeling the pain of their own wrong choices. You don't have to fix it all in your teen's life. Fix what you can and let life teach the rest. This is so tough because it goes against your nature, your reflexes. You are used to kissing your kids' hurts and making things okay again. And now I am urging you to stop doing that. If you continue to do that, you are just keeping your teen from coming face to face with how wrong their wrong is. You may think you are doing the right thing by shielding your teen, but you must recognize this extremely important fact. The stuff kids can get into today can turn their lights out forever. And if you help your teen get away with doing wrong by helping them get by, you are actually helping them to do wrong. The home is a microcosm of our society. If a teen cannot function in the home, they will not be able to function in society. The love must be tough philosophy is rejected by many because they are not ready to implement such a drastic strategy yet. They want to continue their own way of doing things until it is exhausted. When that parent comes to the end of their proverbial rope, and they will, then they are ready to listen to this approach. The love must be tough philosophy can best be compared to open heart surgery. If the patient doesn't have the surgery, he will die. There is a slight chance he will not survive the surgery, but an even greater chance of enjoying a full, normal, healthy life. We must do the open heart surgery on our teens. You know that your way is not working, and without a change of approach, you'll lose your teen. There is a slight chance you'll lose them if you take the tough love approach, but a greater chance you will gain them back. You may ask, but aren't we supposed to love our children unconditionally? Isn't this an unloving approach? Certainly not. To the contrary, this is an expression of love. Unconditional love is not synonymous with permissiveness, passivity, and weakness. Sometimes it requires toughness, discipline, and accountability. When teenagers break the Ten Commandments and no longer honor their fathers and mothers enough to be obedient to them, they will suffer the natural consequences. What they don't want is exactly what they will get. They will get more authority hovering over them, and the authorities will ask more questions and impose more rules. If they disregard and disobey their parents and hot rod the car, for example, they will finally get caught and will find themselves involved with a legal authority, the police. If they become more rebellious and rebel against the police too, they will be ticketed again and again until another authority, the insurance company, will step in and cancel their insurance. Buddy Scott suggests a simple formula. Stubborn misbehavior equals more authority plus more rules plus more questions minus the desired freedom. If teenagers become even more rebellious and rebel against both the police and the high-risk insurance companies, a bigger authority, the state, will step in and take away the driver's license. If they disregard and disobey their parents and aren't dependable in their employment, the other authority will fire them. These authorities are your allies. Don't be against your reinforcements. Don't storm the police station ranting and raving about the arrest of your teen. Don't go to school and harass the principal about disciplining your teen. Don't tell the juvenile probation officer that you don't need anyone to tell you how to run your family. Authorities are only responding to what your teen has chosen. Their day would have gone better, actually, if your teen had not forced this crisis on them. Don't mess up the lessons of life by siding with your teen against the authority or by having an I told you so attitude. Sometimes self-centered kids set up parents in the grandparents' trap. The grandparents' trap happens when a precious grandchild is born and the new grandparents are trapped into helping their prodigal teen like never before. Grandparents have told me they'd take our granddaughter right into the drug party if we didn't babysit her for them. We pay their rent because if we didn't, they'd have to live with a bunch of other lowlife and no telling what our grandbaby would be exposed to. Sure, we got him out of jail. If he stays in jail, he'll lose his job, and then how will he provide for the baby? We know they're using us, but that's the only way we get to help with the grandbaby. Friends, here's a formula for change. Change occurs when the pain of doing a wrong becomes greater than the pleasure received from doing the wrong. Let me repeat that. Change occurs when the pain of doing a wrong becomes greater than the pleasure received from doing the wrong. Realize this, parents. The highs kids are experiencing from doing wrong feel so good and are so magnetic that the consequences have to be nearly nuclear to blast them away from misbehaving. Pain pries kids away from wrong. Pain can be one of our greatest allies. You are telling your teen that certain things are wrong to do, and pain proves it to them. Wrong is supposed to hurt. Wrong is supposed to turn out wrong. That's what we've been saying all these years, isn't it? Parents, you must get out of the way and let pain do its job. Feelings of guilt and the pain of uncomfortable consequences are two primary motivators for a teen to make a course correction. Pray, parent, and get out of the way. Let pain do its work. Warn them that if they walk over their parents, their God, and their church, and their country to do wrong, they'll have to right their own wrongs. If they get fined, they'll have to handle their fines on their own. If they recklessly drive their car, you'll not provide them with another. If they get into trouble at school, you'll not automatically take their side. If they shoplift, they'll have to deal with a store manager on their own. If they get in jail, you'll not normally bail them out. If they flunk out of school, you'll expect them to go to summer school or go for a GED. Economist Walter E. Williams learned a principle of success by missing lunch. He said, "At 13, I was a typical barbarian growing up in the slums of Philadelphia. My mother supported us by working as a maid. Frivolous consumption often meant that I'd used up my school lunch funds by midweek, so I'd go to Mom to borrow money. Finally, one day Mom said, 'You knew you'd have to buy lunch when you spent the money,' and refused to fork over a dime. Saddled with what I was sure was the most callous mother on earth, I went without lunch the rest of the week. I never frittered away my food money again, taking my first step toward civilization." Of course my mother was not callous, he concludes. I now realize it must be heartrending for a parent to know his kid is hungry. But if you don't have the guts to hold someone accountable for his imprudence, how can he learn to do better? Parents, trying too hard to keep your kids can be counterproductive. Your efforts can impose so much guilt on them that they will stay on drugs to keep from feeling it. Buddy Scott shares an incident from his life. A woman called me long distance a few years ago and told me that she and her husband were selling their home to get the $15,000 it would take to pay their son's attorney. Their son was in jail for selling drugs. After discovering that he had been into drugs for a long time, I urged her not to lose their home and their life savings on the attorney's fees. I reasoned, "If you do this, you will impose what I call super guilt on your son, and it will lock him into doing drugs. He will just about have to do drugs to handle the guilt over the damage he has caused his family. Damage so big in his mind that trying to undo it will be too overwhelming to him, and he'll stick to drugs instead." I asked this mother to let her son handle the situation himself, even if that meant using a court-appointed attorney. I went to the jail and spoke to this man through the bars. He had learned of his parents' intentions. He asked me not to let them do that. I assured him that I'd done my best to prevent it. As it turned out, the parents still have their home and their life savings, and the grown child doesn't have super guilt to contend with. As parents, we must allow our teen to experience the pain of his or her own wrong choices.